But let's read together this lovely psalm, Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear unto my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Let's unite in prayer. Lord, we give thanks for answering our cry already, for a sense of thy presence in this meeting. And Lord, how more important it is to have an understanding of God's nearness when we come to thy word. We cast away from ourselves any human confidence, and we come to rely upon thee for this time in the word. We pray that thou would grant the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the one who is our guide, the one who has promised to lead us into all truth. Settle our hearts and minds down now as we listen to thy word, and help the preacher. I cast my all upon thee. I pray that thou would grant me the infilling of divine wisdom and power, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Seeking earnestly the will of God. And we're taking for our text, and there's a number of verses in the psalm that we could take, but we're taking for our text the latter part of verse 8, where the psalmist here cries to the Lord, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. There is one thing that ought to concern every Christian every day as we sojourn here upon the earth. And that is the will of God for our lives. We want to be in the center of the divine plan, knowing that where we are is the place where God wants us to be in every aspect of life. This is even so in the smallest details of our daily walk. In all those decisions that we make that seem insignificant and unimportant. It is certainly the case when we come to the major steps that we take. Decisions about our future which will have lasting and far-reaching consequences. Which will have an impact upon us personally and very often upon other people. Our pursuits in education, for example. And I'm very conscious that some of our young people have received examination results for their A-levels in the past week, and others are no doubt looking forward to the GCSE results in the incoming week. But as you think of your education, your place of study, decisions that you're going to make for the future, how important it is to know the will of Almighty God. Our choice in employment. It's not just the matter of taking any job that comes our way, but for the Christian to know that the employment that we're entering upon is indeed the very work that God has called us to. Getting married. And we've had a number of weddings, and there are still some to come in the not too distant future. But what an important step that is in life for any young person to take. I was always taught growing up that it's the second most important decision of life. The first one, of course, being right with God, making sure that you're saved and found in Christ. But the second most important decision, getting married. And it is so imperative that we know the mind of God in this matter. Moving house. Some people move house just the way they make any small decision without much thought, but it's important to know God's mind. Emigrating to another country may surprise you how little prayerful thought and consideration is given to these matters by many who profess to know the Saviour. And yet here is something that we ought to get right. Indeed, it is for our well-being. Often we are led down a path that brings immense changes. And so we need to make sure that our decisions before God are the right decisions. You will agree with me, I am sure, that eating brown or white bread is not just as important as getting married. So there's some things that are of small consequence in this life. Or when you get up in the morning, whether you're going to have Rice Krispies or cornflakes, that's small in comparison to maybe the university that you're going to go to, whether you're going to go down to the city of Belfast or maybe across to the United Kingdom, to Manchester or Leeds or some other university. These are great decisions in life. Now, I want to be in God's will as far as it lies within me, even in the minutest decisions of life, to have a contentment day by day in simple matters that I'm pleasing the Lord. But how vital it is that I know beyond all doubt, as I take the principal steps in life, that I am where God wants me to be, and my decision has His blessing upon it. I can say as the minister of the church that I know that I am where God wants me to be right now. When I came to Ballymoney, I did not come here lightly. I came here at the call of God. I was absolutely certain about that. It was a major decision for me to make. Looking back, when I went into the ministry, I was sure about the call of God to the ministry. When the Lord opened the door to go for several years to Oulton Broad, I knew that that was the way the Lord was leading. When I returned home in 1990, at the beginning of that year, and came to Portobogie, I knew that that was the will of God. These were important decisions, major decisions for me. And of course, looking back upon, we've already talked about getting married, I knew for certain when I married Susan that that was God's will for my life. So I know that I am where God wants me to be right now. And I ask you the question, have you that certainty? Do you know, dear Christian, this meeting that you are where God wants you to be? You've got that certain confidence that where you are today is the will of God for your life? Or maybe you're seeking the way ahead. Maybe as you've come to the house of God today, you are praying about your future. You have some mammoth decision to make, some gigantic step to take, some difficult situation to get your head around so that you know that it's the right way in the decision that you make. I know that some of our young people have decisions to make about their future, having got your results, and some others who will get them this week. Others may be facing challenges of a different nature, or maybe even a crisis time of some particular kind. As a child of God, you need to be certain about God's will. You need to know that the choice that you make is God's choice for your life. For that is the way of true happiness and satisfaction. You need guidance, therefore. You need someone to point the way. And principally, that's the Lord. And so good to have family members that love you and care for you, and you can go to your family members for advice, and that's important. But over and above that, and more importantly, it is the Lord who guides our footsteps, and He will show us the way. He will reveal to us His mind and His will if we seek Him. And when we find His will, that's the best place to be in. And so we need to pray about these matters. And perhaps the prayer of David in this psalm is the very plea that you need to bring before the Lord right now, at this juncture in your life's pilgrimage. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. David, as he pens this song, is in a hard and a difficult place. There's no doubt whatsoever about that. When you read the psalm, you know it to be so. In verse 3, he speaks about the enemy that persecuted his soul. He says, he has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. The period that David was passing through was likely the rebellion, the conspiracy of his son Absalom. What a hard time that was in David's experience. We're not certain about that. It may have been in an earlier period of his life, maybe in the time when Saul was persecuting David and hounding him from pillar to post. But it's likely it was in this latter time when the words of the psalm were written by David. That time when Absalom had rebelled against his father. And so we are referring to the history that is recorded for us in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Let me just read a few of the verses to give us an understanding of what David in this time of his life was passing through. Verse 12 of chapter 15, 2 Samuel. Verse 12, the second part of it. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And then in verse 23, all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And then verse 30, David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went up barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. And we just read those few verses in this period of David's history, and it shows us something of the turmoil and the trial that he's passing through. We can hardly imagine the scene. We are but poor spectators as we try to identify with David's trouble, the crisis that has arisen in the kingdom, but especially the turmoil that has arisen in David's family. Such is the distress of heart, soul, and mind that David cries out in the psalm that we have read there in verse 4, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. You see, my friends, David was not only a great saint, but he was a great soldier. And despite the fact that he was a great saint and a great soldier, yet even here, he's overwhelmed. And David had those experiences as he lived on earth. He was overwhelmed by his trials. He was ready to faint in the day of adversity. The expression, as desolate could be written, is full of amazement. As David tried to comprehend the mystery of his sufferings, he's not able to find a complete answer. And so his heart is filled with amazement in what is happening. However, though David's trial is very great, his faith is also very great. His hope is firmly fixed upon God. And he's able to pen the words in verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. And here's the answer to the troubled spirit. David thinks about the Lord. And he thinks about the Lord's greatness. The whole psalm is a cry in crisis. In the midst of all his affliction and anxiety, David prays. He makes his appeal to God. Look at the opening line of the psalm. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear unto my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness, Look at him reaching out to God in verse 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsts after thee as a thirsty land. And we get the picture there of David reaching out to God. I'm stretching out my hands, looking to the Lord for help. That's the scene that is before us in the psalm. This song is divided naturally into two parts. We have 12 verses, the first 6 verses, and then the latter 6. Seems to be a natural division. The word Selah coming there at the end of verse 6, indicating that there is a pause and we ought to give consideration to what has been said. Someone has divided the psalm as follows. They say the opening 6 verses we have a penitent plaint, and the latter 6 verses, 7 to 12, we have powerful pleadings. We notice these powerful pleadings as you look at the verbs at the beginning of each verse. Verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord. Verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness. And cause me again in the same verse. Deliver me, O Lord. Teach me to do thy will. Quicken me, O Lord. But it's verse 8 that I want to consider with you. And this little phrase in particular, where David, in the depths of his affliction, cries out to God, and he says, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. He's seeking for guidance in the midst of his adversity. He's longing to know the will of God. Now, our circumstances may not be exactly like David's circumstances. We may not be facing an enemy, like David speaks about. We may not be in the situation of a conspiracy or being persecuted by some other person or maybe family member, as it was with Absalom rising up against David. However, in the journey of life, we find ourselves in a hard place very often, facing difficult decisions, needing direction and guidance and help from the Lord. So here's a prayer I'm suggesting to you that you could offer to God. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. We are often brought to stand in a place where great decisions need to be made, but we hardly know what to do or how to order our steps. It seems that we are hemmed in on every side. Just like Israel, when they had fled from the land of Egypt, they came to the Red Sea. And the picture there is most suggestive, because the sea is before them. On either side we have the hills and the mountains, and behind them the thundering chariots of the great army of Egypt. And there they are, hemmed in, nowhere to go, nowhere to flee, not knowing what to do, humanly speaking. And that so often is our experience. There doesn't seem to be a way out. And perhaps we're overwhelmed and we despair. Our case may even be as dire as Bunyan's man in the cage when he says, I cannot get out. It's in such times when the Lord has drawn us from all self-confidence and self-resource, and we come to the mercy seat with such strong pleadings as David, that a door opens in the providence of God and he rises up to show us the way. The need may be of a simpler nature, some of the things that I've mentioned already in this message, but we need to make our appeal to God. We need to come to the Lord, seeking earnestly to know his mind and his will. And I have just three simple thoughts that I want to leave you with you, and not be long as I bring them to your attention. But we have the desire of David. I think it's summarized there in the words, the way wherein I should walk. David wanted to know the right way to walk in the midst of difficulty, the right decisions to make that would bring him down the road of the divine plan. He wanted to be enlightened with the knowledge of God as to his future. There is a right way to walk. And I think the word right goes without saying. That is the thought that David has in mind here as he pleads before the Lord. Caused me to know, and we could put the word right, caused me to know the right way. Because there's also the wrong way to walk. Steps that will lead us into difficulty, that will cause us to drift from God, that would end in disaster altogether. And that's not the way that any one of us would want to go. And yet we've seen it time and time again. Some of the Lord's dear people who have not sought guidance from the Lord in major decisions of life, who have not desired earnestly to stay in the very centre of God's will, who have not made it their chief concern to follow the paths of the Lord's choosing, and they have brought upon themselves all kinds of trouble, and at times it has been disastrous, not only to them, but to their family too. And we think about Abraham, for example, going down into the land of Egypt in a time of terrible famine in the land, turning to the world, if you like, for help, making a decision that was outside the will of God. It was not where God wanted him to be. Abraham did not make it a matter of prayer. He just decided himself. And he brought his family there. Now God delivered him. He went down to Egypt in Genesis chapter 12, and the opening lines of chapter 13 show us how God delivered him and brought him up out of the land of Egypt. And that was a mercy. A great mercy indeed, that when we do take wrong decisions, that the Lord in his grace, he still steps into our lives and he brings us out of the circumstances that we get ourselves into. But Abraham is brought out. But the point I'm making is this. Though he by and large recovered, his family never did. And as you go on to read the history, we know the outcome of Lot in particular and other circumstances in the family. Because Abraham one day made a wrong decision to go down to Egypt and brought his family there. What devastating results it had upon his home and upon his family. I have known people who have emigrated to another country and it's been in Egypt for them. They never prayed about the matter. They never sought for guidance. They never sought, is there a place of worship? That, to me as a Christian, would be a very basic matter to consider. If I'm emigrating, I'm moving to another country, is there a place where I can bring up my family in the gospel? A church that is like-minded to what we have here in Ulster. But they never thought about that. All they wanted was a better life, a more prosperous future, a more comfortable lifestyle. But it took them away from the Lord. And sadly, that has been the case with some. And their children got into the world and they were lost to the gospel. It was not the right way. It was not God's way. It was not the blessed way. And the application, of course, is extensive and far-reaching when we apply it to so many avenues of our life. It is therefore important to know the way wherein I should walk. And you will know there's a vast difference between should and would. The way we should walk may be totally different from the way that we would walk. That's why the scripture teaches us to train up a child in the way that he should go, so that when he's old, matured, he will not depart from it. Because the way that he would go would be entirely different. So there is a big difference between should and would. The way we would walk has more to do with our inclinations, our feelings, our desires. But the way that we should go is more to do with the way that the Lord would have us to follow his will and his word. A godly man does not ask, is it a pleasant way? Is it a comfortable road? Is it an easy passage? Is it a profitable path? He simply asks, is it the right way? Is it God's way? And so here's the desire of David. I want to be in the right way. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Then secondly, there is the direction of David. Won't you notice the little phrase here where he says, cause me to know. Cause me to know. And it's a little bit like what he pens there in verse 10. Teach me to do thy will. David wanted God to cause him to know. In other words, to put the matter as clear as crystal, so that he would be certain about God's leading and God's direction. How often we need to pray as we seek guidance in this life and desire to be in the center of God's will, knowing the decision that we make is the best one for us and our families and others around us, and the one that's pleasing to the Lord. How often need to pray about our future. I don't want to be in any detail out of the will of God for my life. I want to be where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do. So I come to the Lord with this cry of heart, cause me to know. Lord, make it abundantly clear. Settle the matter in my heart beyond all question. Let me know this is the way. Walk ye in it. The will of God, we are told by Paul, is good, acceptable, and perfect. And that's the place I want to be. Lord, cause me to know it. To do the will of God, to walk God's way, is the happiest place on earth, no matter what our circumstances might be. In David's testimony of Psalm 40, and we sang from the psalm earlier, he said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. O, I delight in thy command. Love to be led by his dear hand. His divine will is sweet to me, hallowed by blood-stained Calvary. What do we know about it? If it's the happiest place on earth, and it is, then don't we want to be there? Cause me to know. If I am to be led by my own sinful inclinations, I'll never know the way wherein God wants me to walk. If I'm to trust to the desires of my mind and heart, I'll never walk the path that God has intended me to walk. If I'm to lean upon my own understanding, well then I'm going to fall every step of the way into all kinds of mischief, and I will miss the perfect will of God for my life. But if I come in honesty to the Lord, who knows me through and through, he knows my circumstances, he knows my needs, he knows what's right for me, and I pray along these lines, like David, cause me to know the way wherein I shall walk, then he will guide me. He will direct my path. He will say, as we seek his will, he will speak into our hearts, this is the way, walk ye in it. And how does he direct my path? Well, he directs my path in three principal ways. First of all, by his word. And if I'm to know the mind of God, I must come to this book every time and seek direction from him. And then he will guide me by his Spirit. And it is the Spirit of God taking the word and giving you and I a peace in our heart. And so as we seek the guidance of God, and the Lord shows us in his word, this is the way. The Spirit of God who dwells within us confirms that in our heart by giving us a joy and a peace and a contentment that this is the will of God. And then he also guides by his providence. He works it out circumstantially in our lives the way that we should go. And then the final little thought is the dependence of David. But he says in this text, for I lift up my soul unto thee. David's casting is all upon the Lord. He is really saying, I have no other help. I have no other refuge. I have no other hope, no other stay. Lord, and we have it in many of the Psalms, thou art my rock, thou art my fortress, thou art my hiding place, thou art my high tower, my pavilion, and I'm casting myself totally and unreservedly upon thee. David lifts up his soul to God in prayer, his innermost being. And so prayer ought to be fervent. It ought to be sincerely from the heart, and we've touched upon that in recent days. As one man has put it, unless the heart is lifted up to God, and the affections of the soul and the desires of it are drawn out unto him, and grace is an exercise on him in prayer, the lifting up of the hands will be of no avail. And so in the psalm we have David lifting up his hands to God. In verse 6, we mentioned that. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. It's a picture of reaching out to God. But my friends, if we're only stretching out our hands to God, and the heart and the soul is not stretched out to him, it is of no avail. So here's David's dependence upon God. He's relying solely upon him, as in prayer, from the very depths of his innermost being, he calls upon God. And he says to the Lord, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. From time to time, the Lord has given me the blessing of sharing problems and difficulties with the members of the congregation. Sometimes I know what your circumstances are. And I know some people in this church building today, you're facing decisions in the not too distant future. I've mentioned the young people already, thinking about university, thinking about your next stage in education. Some of them, perhaps, you're thinking about employment, where you'll want to go. And others, no doubt, facing other problems and difficulties in your life. But I don't know all your circumstances. And maybe you're passing through some kind of trouble and turmoil that's unknown to me, maybe unknown to the rest of the congregation. But here's a word from God. Here's David in the midst of a hard time. And what does he do? He makes his appeal to the Lord. And he comes before the Lord honestly. And he prays, Lord, cause me to know. Make me know it. Lord, show it to me clearly. And my friends, when we do that with an honest heart, God will show us his will. And he will lead us in the right way, the way that we should go. And we will have his blessing upon what we do. And that's the way to live as a child of God, knowing the center of the divine plan. Let us pray. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the Psalms and the many, many Psalms that we can identify with. We thank thee for the comfort that they have brought to us on many an occasion. Thank thee for the challenge that they've been. We bless thee especially for those words that David wrote, how that so often we've identified with them. We've been able to enter into his situations, his difficulties, for they have expressed so clearly what we ourselves have been passing through. And Lord, we thank thee that thy word is given to us for our profit. It's up to date. And Lord, we've been able to identify very readily with David in the Psalm 143. And we see, Lord, this man in a time of great difficulty, when he's persecuted, when he is opposed, when the enemy has surrounded him, hardly knowing what to do or where to go, and yet he makes his appeal to God. And Lord, we know that when we face those situations that are humanly impossible to us, and we have to say, I'm at wit's end, I don't know what to do, I don't know who to turn to, yet for thy dear people, Lord, we have the same recourse, and we can come to the Lord, and we can make our appeal to him. Lord, teach us to pray. Make us men and women of prayer, and especially in times of difficulty, to come and cast our all upon the Lord, to lift up not just the hands, this physical expression of reaching to God, but from the innermost being, lifting our hearts to God, our souls to the Lord, and to know what it is to find that help and grace and strength in him alone, and for the Lord to come alongside as we ask him concerning his will and where we ought to walk and how we ought to walk. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Bless this congregation. You know each one. You know the circumstances of every child of thine. And Lord, we pray you'll guide them in these days. Bless our young people. We love them in the Lord. We covet them for thee. We pray that in all their decisions they will know the mind of God as they make them over the next number of weeks. Keep them in the right way. And bless all the young people of the Free Church. In the Saviour's name. Amen.